that's always a great idea, right?
Well, Father, Lord God, I just pray that as we're singing to you, Lord, and as we're worshiping you, Father, that you just help us get our hearts right, Lord. Help, if any of us have been dealing with anger during the week or pride or jealousy, Lord God, just anything. Father, I just pray, Lord, that first you just forgive us, Lord, and that you just speak to our hearts and help us to be overcomers with that, Lord. But as we're worshiping you, help us to get our hearts just right. So we're focusing only on you. And we're not letting anything else cloud our thoughts, Father. Just give us peace this morning.
Oh, how we love you.
help us just to rest in your love, Lord God. Help us to understand that you do love us unconditionally, Father. And I'll pray, as I do every time, Lord, when I pray about your love, Father, I pray that you help us to have that love for others, Lord. Help us to be overcomers of our pride and anything that stands in the way of us loving others, Father. I ask you, Lord, just to forgive me too, Lord. I've been dealing with so many things lately, and I am finding it very hard to love in certain areas, Lord, and I want to be an overcomer with that, Father, so I just pray, Father, that first you forgive me, Lord, and just for any arrogance, Lord, that I have in my part, and just, I don't know, Lord, maybe it's just pride, Father, but I pray, Lord, that you do help me to love, and you help me to cover all things, Lord God, as you cover all things, Lord. And for anyone else that might be struggling with that here today, Lord God, I pray that you speak to them personally, Father, and you help them to overcome that as well, Lord.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we breathe.
Father, I do pray, Lord, that because you're the one that gives us breath, Lord, and you breathe into us, Father. I pray, Lord, that as we speak, Lord, we don't have double speaking, Father, that we are the same inside of church as we are outside of church. Lord, I pray that we don't take on two different personalities, Lord, and we're not fake and phony. Father, I pray that with every word that we speak, Father, that we can edify you and glorify you, Lord, and I just pray that you help us all to work on that, Father. Help us recognize, Lord, that we are alive because you give us breath to do your work, Father. Help us not to get caught up in our daily living, Lord, and be so distracted, Father. Help us to stay focused on our purpose, Lord. And Father, some of us may not know exactly what our purpose is. Lord, I pray that you speak to us, Father. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Guide our path, Father. So many times I I don't always say that kind word, or I'm too tough. Father, help me to be joyful. Help me to have praise, Lord. And I'm just speaking for all of us, Father. Help us to, Lord, when we're going through trials, Lord, I know it's easier said than done, but Father, help us to praise you in that. Help us to grow deeper in you, Father. When we're going through those hard times, Father, help us to run to you and say, Lord, if there's something here that you want to teach me, help me to learn. Help me not to fight it, Father. Lord, your will be done.
Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Let the righteous be glad, let him rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Exalt him who rides on the clouds. By his name, Yah, and rejoice before him.
Came into my heart. I'm not.
important for us to remember, and I'm speaking to myself as well, that the Lord looks into our heart. He sees what's in there. So it doesn't matter how hard we try to look like we have it all together or how perfect we are. He knows our heart. And he says, don't have a facade. I want to clean you on the inside. And then the outside will follow. So, Father, as we're here today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just clean the inside of this cup first, Lord, so that you can put living water in, Father. Help us to have new wineskin, Lord, so we can let that Holy Spirit just consume us, Father. Help us, Lord God, just I pray, Father, it's always been my heart. Help us not to be hypocrites, Lord. Help me just when I'm out there and I'm in public, Father, or as I'm teaching my kids, or as I'm being a wife, Father, help me just to shine my light for you to all, Lord. And help me just to mean what I say, Father. Help them not to be empty words, Lord. Because you see my heart no matter what, Father. We can't hide it from you, Lord. You created me. You know me better than anyone, Lord. Help us not to fool ourselves, Father. But help us to have rest and joy and freedom and just knowledge that you can take away chains, that you can give us joy, that you can help us during any circumstance, Father. Help us to cling to those things rather than being worried about any punishment, Father. Help us to run after joy and excitement and just freedom and just... Father, I praise you for all of these things that you give us, Lord.
That's so important, isn't it? Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It is so much a priority. Because here's the thing. We could all come to church over and over again and again. We could even go to Bible studies again and again and just get filled with head knowledge. But God wants to fill our heart with Him. It's more than knowledge. He wants to fill us with His love. That it would overflow into other people. He wants to fill his heart with forgiveness, with peace, with patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He wants to fill our hearts supernaturally. This is not just a learned thing only, although God will use a lot of situations in our life to bring that about. But he wants to bring about a heart change. So that we would know him. Because there's going to be a time in our lives where, you know, our spouse isn't going to meet the needs, and our kids aren't going to meet the needs, and our finances aren't going to meet the needs, and the church isn't going to meet the needs, and that denomination isn't going to meet your needs. But Jesus will always be there for you. Never will he leave you. Never will he forsake you. That's why the personal relationship, you, one-on-one, he's my best friend. He's who I cling to in times of trouble. That's what he wants to be in your life. That's why it's so important to have that relationship with him. Because he'll never do you wrong. And he'll see you through every situation. That's just who he is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, a few things. We've got some folks on vacation. I'm still on a staycation. On vacation last week, we got a So they gave us a wonderful place in Orlando to stay, and so we stayed there last week, and we're on, Pastor Paul was here. I felt so bad. We get this place a year in advance, and so we had to make these reservations a year in advance. We get it for free, and it was the same week Pastor Paul came and spoke. Oh, but so many people said it went well. The teaching and before and afterwards. I'm going to ask you guys about that in a minute. And then this week I'm on staycation and Josh is going to teach. Woo-hoo! So I was able to still kind of relax a little bit. We want to let you know a couple things if you want to invite friends and neighbors, okay? Before it's released to the public, the case for Christ is going to be shown here. We bought the license to show it as a church, okay? And so it's going to be showing Thursday on our Thursday night barbecue and Bible study on the July 20th. And that night, I haven't talked to Tom, so consider this me talking. We're just going to have hot dogs that night and popcorn. Just really simple, and we're going to do a movie Thursday, July 20th. I know Gloria's like saying, thank you, God, a break from the movie. And so, anyway, Thursday, the 20th of July, we're going to be showing that movie, The Case for Christ. We want you to come out. It'd be a great time to invite your friends, invite the neighbors, just to come out and hang out and watch the movie with us, okay? So again, just hot dogs and popcorn that night, but everybody's going to be invited. Also,
do you have a time on that?
Yeah, the barbecue Bible study starts at 6, so it's usually from 6 to 8. So, yep. Also, Child Evangelism Fellowship, we had 5 of the 6 youths in this area, teens, went up for missionary training for a full week in dorm-style life. Now, before I went on vacation, I said that they were to be ready to share this week, but I didn't remind them, so I don't know that they are ready. So I'm just going to say next week, okay? Next week? Or are you ready now? You want to come up now? Next week? You're okay next week? You want to come up, JoJo?
Yeah.
Come up, Joseph. So you've been doing it. Come on up. Where's his ass? Come on, Joe. Come here, Joe. Come on up here. Come on up in front. You can do it. You know what? Josh did such a great job with you, man. Just asking the kids questions and letting them speak. But so for those of you who don't know, a lot of the youth went up to like a full week missionary training. Is that correct? And that was from what time did you guys have to get up in the morning?
We got up around 7, went to breakfast around 8:30, and we got back into our dorms by 10:30, was it?
No, 8:30.
8:30. Okay, and you guys were training all day long, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, now, and you guys also, for those of you who don't know, we've been doing vacation Bible studies, Child Evangelism Fellowship at different churches. And so I think you guys are all scheduled to do one together. 5 of the 6 youth from our area came from this church, you guys, and so praise the Lord for that. And they've been doing vacation Bible studies at other churches in town, in the body of Christ, because it's not all about home fellowship, it's about Jesus. That's what it's really about. And so, what have you, can you say one thing that God, like, really showed you, and then how are these, one thing God showed you, and how are these Bible studies, what are you seeing God do in the kids' lives?
Well, God really showed me how to control my temper. Working with all beautiful kids. A few of the kids were a little rough, but I got through the first 2 weeks. And not this week, but next week, if you want to bring your kids, we're going to do a teaching here. Let's see. And something that
needs to be. What's that you at? What are you doing there? What does that have?
Well, when we go, we kind of tell them stories. Right now, we only have 2 stories, a Bible story and a missionary story. And then we sing songs with the kids. We play games with them. And in the first 2 weeks, we've had about, I'd say, 20 or 30 kids come to Christ.
Wow, that's awesome. Praise the Lord.
Pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. That's awesome. Esalene, what about you? What's one thing God taught you and one thing that you're seeing God do as we're going out and doing those things?
I guess it's kind of the same thing, like I'm controlling myself with the kids. Because, you know, there's going to be like in the first week, there was like 46 kids over there. And we fed them sugar. Also, I was like, no, don't give them sugar.
Oh, they have sugar anyway. So they're moving around a lot.
Second week, it was okay. I guess the kids were older.
And what are you doing there? What are you doing as part of Dust? What are you helping with?
Well, story, like the missionary story.
Okay.
Mary Celestia.
Okay.
She's from Scotland.
Okay.
I want to tell the story.
Well, no, I just what's one thing? You know, okay. For example, okay. So you guys from like Monday, July 17th through Friday the 21st. Is that right? Okay. So you guys are having like that thing here as well. Okay. Next week you're going to be at another church, I think.
Next week. I have to make sure we're sharing, but this week we might
not have a club because Tuesday is July 4th.
Oh yeah.
So I have to make sure we're sharing with Miss Sherry, but we might not have one this week.
Okay.
But next week we're going
to
be here.
What is one thing that you would say for like the folks here? We want people to invite their friends and neighbors, like to come out. And it focuses on evangelism, right? Is that correct? And what would you, I know it's a lot of fun, they play games and all that, but what would you communicate to the folks here? Would you just, to go talk to their neighbors, what would you say to them to bring them out? I mean, sometimes it can be scary talking to your neighbors and inviting kids. What would you say to them?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Okay.
Maybe some sort of invitation or something like that.
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. Do something.
Well, honestly, I'm really proud of you both, I think we're all just going to come to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and next week we're going to call you guys up, and you guys are going to share the same thing. All right. Okay, so again, we just want to invite you out. Last year we did it. It was absolutely fantastic. And so it's all for free. Just have to see Lisa for a sign-up, or Hannah if she's here somewhere, the other Hannah. And so we just want to invite you guys out. Again, it's free for your friends, for your neighbors. And we just wanted to have a good time. We just want the gospel to be shared. And so it's going to be Monday through Friday, 17th to the 21st. And again, if you have any questions, you can see Lisa way in the big back there. Hi, raise your hand. Or Miss Hannah, or Miss Sherry, if she's here. I guess that's it, right? Hey, here's one other thing. If anybody's interested, we're going to make some flyers, and we're going to distribute them. We were talking about that with Miss Sherry, and she said she volunteered for you guys, by the way, with Miss Hannah. But we're going to kind of spread some of those vacation Bible study flyers through the neighborhood. So if anybody else is interested in doing that to the neighbors, just giving them at least, yes, would you come see me, and we'll talk to you about coordinating that, because we want to put it in the neighbors' hands just so that they know it's available to them and it's all for free in Jesus' name. What a way to reach out for Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, you may.
So for the past 2 weeks and for the rest of the summer, with the kids, we've been saving money for a missionary in West Africa named Zerhun, and I just want to ask if you guys could pray that we get enough money to help him out.
Why don't you lead us? Would you pray?
Okay. So, dear Lord, thank you for giving me Hasseline, Hezekiah, and Elijah, and the other Joe the chance to do this this summer, to teach kids and lead more children to you. And I just want to encourage anyone here, if they wanted to give it a try next year, that they would have the courage to step up. And I also want to pray for the missionary that we're supporting with the kids, Zerhun Fragata, that by the end of the summer we would have raised enough money to get him his car that he really needs, and that he can go from place to place talking to more people. And good job, Jojo. Now, by the way, just so you know, Jojo and Asleen
were absolutely, I think, was it maybe a year ago, were petrified to speak in front of people. Aren't they doing great?
Yeah.
Good job, guys. And also, if you want to volunteer for this, please see. Yeah, please see this. Please. I don't know if I mentioned that. Also, I heard this was great, Paul and Marcia Cowley. Now, here's the thing. We have so many people on vacay that I had those CDs. Now, where are they? I just have them right here. Okay, so I've got some CDs. Paul Carley, he did. I asked if this was right. The title of it is "We Must Run Aground."
Yes.
George is like, "Yes, that's the title."
Right.
I said, "We Must Run Aground." That's what, are you sure? Absolutely. In Acts. I said, "Okay." I heard the message was awesome. And for those of you who don't know, he ministers in the poorest of poor, the slums, inner city slums of Africa. Millions and millions and millions of people there, and that will never get out of those slums until they go to heaven. But people are being trained up. You guys, this little body, is providing Bibles to train leaders to go out into the slums and to preach Jesus Christ. All of last semester, you guys provided Bibles, and then all of this upcoming semester, you guys provided Bibles to where the tithes and offerings go. But if anybody did not hear that message, I'm going to take one of these CDs out for me since I was on vacation. But if anybody else did not hear the message, raise your hand, and we will deliver one of these. Okay, got a few people. Raise your hand, we'll deliver the message to you. Okay, yes, you can use mine. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say about this? One thing that maybe God spoke to them, for someone who hasn't listened to this message yet, just to encourage them. Yeah, Amanda, Amanda?
No.
I'm gonna bring you the mic back. Hey, so, can you come here, honey?
Oh,
you want one? Okay. Okay, you want to come? Okay, so, please take the recording of your services.
Run that mic back there, honey. If there's one thing, because not all of us have heard.
Thank you.
So, a lot of things stuck out, but this one in particular, it's been kind of living in my heart since last week. He was talking about those slums, you know, like you said, they can't leave. The government is corrupt, and they make it so that they can't leave. They're basically stuck there. And Pastor Paul said that they know when a true, genuine, on fire for the Lord pastor graduates from there, because their mindset is that even when given the opportunity for him and his family to get out of the slums, they choose to stay because their people are there. And they know and understand in their heart that their out is when they die and go with Jesus. It's very convicting, and it just spoke a lot.
Good. Anybody else want to share anything? If so, we'll soap will bring you a mic. If not, I'll take it back. Anybody? Okay, Ms. Ward. And then one over there.
I just wanted to say that this was the third time Paul was here to speak to us, and the first two times my heart was touched, but this, for some reason, the Lord really spoke to my heart during this message and made me aware of, like, maybe it was make a mention of, the complete surrender that this missionary and his family have totally surrendered their life to the Lord. To be able to live in that kind of circumstance, minister like that, and be in danger, the danger that they face, not just of rebels and violent people, because I do believe that Nairobi, and especially those Kabara areas, is demon-possessed. I think there's a demonic presence all through there. And that, and they're probably being attacked right and left. I'm sure these pastors are. But just the very fact that they are willing to stay there and endure sicknesses, because there is, like he made mention very briefly, the fact that these guys are being in constant danger of the bacterial diseases that are always there, and they have to be careful. and they, he is not feeling well right now, and his son is not feeling very well. So they're, right now they're really dealing with issues. So it's just the surrender. It's so convicting to those of us who live in the United States to hear.
Complaining over minor things.
Yeah. Oh, yes, unbelievable. And we have so much. We're living like kings here.
Yeah.
And how the rest of the world, the tremendous endurance from demonic oppression and possession is attacking the church around the world. And we live like kings here. We don't know what it is. We think because our neighbor doesn't talk to us that we're facing, persecution. It's unbelievable how spoiled we are. But, you know, it really did strike my heart this past time, and he is so, his ministry there is so worthy of all of our prayers, and that's the only thing. I never had a missionary ever come that didn't ask for money. That's amazing to me.
That he didn't.
He didn't ask for money.
He wanted prayers.
Not money. No, we don't want money. We want your prayers. And that's what they need, because they realize that they are fighting spiritual forces there. And the only way to fight spiritual forces are with spiritual weapons, of which prayer is a big, big part of it. So he asked for prayers, and they are so worthy, that school and Paul, so worthy of all of our prayers and support there.
Amen. Thank you. Good word. All right, so we bring up to Mama Wheaton. And they've been there, I think, 17 years now.
Amazing. I just was really touched immediately when he started talking. He said that when they began their ministry, the people there said, "We do not want you to come with any agenda. Please don't come in here and think you're going to see all the needs and go, okay, well, we need to do this, and we need to do that, and we need to fix this, and we need to fix that." He said, "Don't bring your ideas of what will work into this situation, because it won't work, because the problem is so much deeper, you know." And it just touched me, because we as Americans can be, you know, hoity-toity, and we think we know exactly what each situation needs. Well, they just need to read this book or take this class or do that thing. And we walk in with this idea of, I'm going to fix this situation because I am who I am, and I am from where I'm from, or whatever, or I have this degree or that, you know, whatever it might be. And, you know, God is just so much bigger than that. And to just humble our hearts and to just say, you know what, Lord Jesus, what do you want? You know, how can I help? And to just come down off of our high horse a little bit and realize that we think we know all the answers and we think we know what will work for everybody, but it just doesn't. And to just be humble and wait on the Lord and see what he wants us to do instead of what we have up here in our brains. And I'm talking to me. I mean, I was so like, whoa. Because I can look, you know, into other situations, even right here in our own little community, and go, well, you know, let me give you the answer. I think I know what went. Who I think I am, you know? And so I just was so open. My eyes were so open to that, how we Americans can be so that way. And we are a blessed country, and we have been blessed. And it is easy to look and think that we know what will work, and we don't. We just need to remember to stay open to the voice of the Lord and what he wants.
Amen. Good work. You can, so sure. Go ahead.
It's just really cool to me, because he said that, like, they were building a Bible school, and, like, for it wasn't coming, and then they were praying, and a blind preacher came to him and said, "I saw your school," and he was completely blind, so he couldn't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I saw your school."
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome how God works? That's a good thing. Can you bring me that mic? I used to have my own, but since Josh is hogging the mic now.
All right, so this is just, do we have any of those left over, or are they all gone?
Yes.
Okay, so if you still want more, there's a couple more right here, and we'll bring more next week for the next few weeks as people are coming back from vacation. And so if you want that, and I don't even know what I did with the clicker. Boy, you know, I am so ADD, I don't even know how we survive up here. You know, that's a good word because somebody once said, you know, we need to humble ourselves. You know, here's the thing. I know that I am not, but I know I am. You hear the difference?
Mm-hmm.
I know that I am not. I can't do it. But I know I am. And he enables me to do it. Mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome? And isn't that true? All right. Let's see. What else we got? Okay, we already gave those things out. So, okay, you guys, I'll skip this stuff for next week. You guys know about this stuff already. Hey, are we having this because it's on the 4th of July? Okay, so we're taking the 4th of July off. So no men's Bible study in 2 Samuel this week. Okay, and no whosoever's. Sorry, the Transformers. Yes, we will change that slide. Josh, I don't know if Josh there saw Man of Hannah, but anyway, I just want to encourage you guys. If you guys haven't come out for that, I was so blessed by what Josh is doing and getting the kids involved and speaking. I just want to say, Josh, thankful for your faithfulness and just teaching the word and continuing to show up to be there. You're just getting so much better and better every time just by being faithful, just by continuing. Thank you. Thank you, Amanda Panda, for persevering, even with baby Jasp singing in the background. It's beautiful. I love it. Okay, so barbecue and Bible study on Thursday nights, if you want to come out to that. Another one wanted to be baptized, and so we're going to be doing that this month. We'll get you the date. Another one from the youth groups said, hey, I want to be baptized. And so he said, okay, so we've got two or three people that want to be baptized. If that's you, you know, the Lord says repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. So maybe some of you had some water sprinkled on you, or when you were a baby, or when you were a kid, you didn't really know what you were doing. But now you're saying, I want to follow the Lord. I want to make a public profession for Jesus Christ. Well, that's right. That's what we're supposed to do. And we want to come around you. We want to baptize you in Jesus' name. We want to bless you with some words of prophecy, of knowledge. We want to pray over you. And we'll have a little baptism sometime this month. We want you to be a part of that. So if you want to be baptized, please see me, and we'll do that. Okay, I think that's it. Normally we go through the word, but now we have the wonderful, talented, godly, blessed man, Josh, to come share with us. So Josh, woo-hoo!
Good morning. First of all, I think it's so exciting to see the youth speak. You know, they're in the Bible, they're considered arrows. And I think it's so neat when you watch those arrows start to hit the mark. As my kids are getting older, I see them just having that personal relationship with the Lord. And this is our generation that's going to, we're going to pass that baton on to them to continue that race to bring the gospel to many. And so it's so exciting, Joe and Aslan, just to see you speak. I, too, a year ago was petrified of public speaking, and still am. So that's where we're at. So, but the Lord continues just to push me out of my comfort zone. I even created a slide, which is unusual for me, so we'll see how that works. But we're going to take a little trip a long time ago in a Galilee far away. We are going to join Jesus here. I was even thinking, too, with what Gloria was saying, that we're so spoiled here in America, and to me, I look at that as a great danger as well. Oftentimes, in my younger years, I was really involved with missionaries, missions work, and go down to Guatemala all the time, build orphanages, and spend a lot of time. And there's hardships, and there's things that you just can't forget. You see people just absolutely suffering, real suffering on a daily basis. But you're also so close to the Lord in those times in mission trips. When you get back to America, you get so lethargic, and you become very apathetic, and a great danger there. And so my encouragement to us is we pray for the Crowleys and these missionaries. We have to lift each other up. We stay active. And I fall victim to that as well. I just get caught up in the circumstances of life, living in America, you know, going to the job, trying to pay the bills on time. All these spoiled things that we have become such a distraction of what the Lord wants to do in each one of us, and especially me, talking to myself here. So just a little, just what Gloria was saying, just thinking, man, we have to be so alert, because we can become so comfortable. We can sometimes, when things are going great, forget about the Lord and continue on. Oh, we're doing wonderful. Then we get a little suffering, and we get back to the Lord. Or in these other countries, they're just major suffering. They constantly are needing the Lord. All right, I was praying, Lord, you know, what do you want me to teach on? Darren asked me, and then some texts got lost, or I didn't read it. And so, you know, he reminded me this week, and I'm like, okay, Lord, this is good. I don't have anything here, but please just show me. And so I was reading, and he showed me a verse that had been a life verse for me, but I don't think I quite understood how deep it was. And so today I'm going to be, we're going to be in Matthew 11, 28. And just give you a little history on why this verse means so much to me. I had a really dear friend, a family friend. I consider him a brother. And he passed away to the Lord. He was about 26 years old. He was born with a medical condition, neurofibromatosis. And what that does is your nerve endings turn into tumors. Well, it lay pretty dormant for years and years and years. And he'd have some that he would notice, and they're all benign. But at the age of 25, all of a sudden, they just started going crazy in his body, and became super sick. And then these tumors turned malignant, and so they're already there. So that cancer just had these pathways to go right there to it. And this was a father of five, loved the Lord, and I just watched him walk with the Lord through this this pain. He had a tumor that happened into his femur, and it broke that femur. The tumor grew so big, and you know, and then he had to have the leg amputated. And anyway, all this stuff just spread, and he just lost so much weight. It just broke me. It broke my heart, and I just cried out to the Lord. I didn't understand. This man just loved the Lord. He also was in an accident earlier in his years where he was doing some carpentry and cut off most of his fingers with his on his right hand, his dominant hand. And he was really skillful. I just learned so much from hanging out with him and learning from him how to work with your hands. And so I just looked at his life, and he continued to trust the Lord, continued to walk after the Lord. And then in this just most horrible time, this most painful time, sometimes he couldn't even speak, he was in so much pain, but he just constantly followed the Lord, never complained. It was almost like he entered this rest of the Lord that I've never seen before. And I still want it. I'm still not quite there, but I want it, and I know what it looks like. And so Amy and I were reading this verse, the Lord gave us a song. We made a song for it, and we played it for him. And I just remember on his last days, he was just struggling just to breathe, and he always had his earphones in, and the song that he just listened to constantly was "All Fly Away." He was ready to be with him. It was like this peace that just came over him that was just miraculous, in my opinion, just looking at that you know, I get little cuts, I get a bruise, and it's just the end of my day, you know, and go home and complain to Amy, what are we going to do now, you know, and but just watching him, it's just, I don't know, the Lord, I'll never forget that, and the Lord really revealed to me that there is a rest to enter in with him. And so I was thinking, you know, as some of the prayer requests have been going out in church, we have some suffering going on in our church. I just think of Shirley with her breaking her ankle. You know, I think of Natalie's husband, Rumsey, who's just going through the ringer here, you know, and others that are suffering, Billy, with his heart. And so it's like, Lord, how do we enter the rest when these things come upon us? And so so we're going to go ahead and dive right into, let me see if I know how to work this. Yes. So we're going to dive right into it. If someone can read Matthew 11, 28, all the way through 30.
Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
And that's just powerful. So that was kind of my life verse to me. And as I studied more and more this week, it became so deep to me. And I just remember something Charles Spurgeon said is when you look at a surgical needle, you know, you put that under the microscope, you know, before you do that, it looks like this perfectly polished, bright, sharp needle. When you put it on that microscope, you start to see the iron and the rough edges all around it. It's not a pure needle. It's not a pure sharp edge. And then if you put, like, say, a tree bark or an insect wing, you see that the pattern remains the same no matter how many times you magnify that. And that's something the Lord created. I just look at some of these verses. Sometimes when we really dig in deep, when we put some of these verses under that microscope, when we magnify that power, you learn more and more that it becomes so much pure. You don't see any defects in it. And so that's what happened with me with this scripture, is I put this under the microscope. It spoke volumes to me. And I just pray that the Lord would give me the words to impart that to everyone here, and it's taught me so much. So before we dive in to the scripture, I was looking at some of the scriptures around this. Now, to me, this sounds great. It sounds like everybody might be sitting around and doing well, and Jesus just saying this to the disciples and whoever else is around them. But if we go to Matthew 11:1, and it says, "When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" I think it's a strong John the Baptist. This is a man that was out in the wilderness eating locusts, eating wild honey. How do you get the wild honey? You have to go find a honeycomb somewhere full of bees. You know, so the guy would just go. And I love, that's one of my kind of hobbies. I like beekeeping. I like the apiary part of it. And if I wear the full suit, man, I'm not getting stung. I got stung one time. That hurt. So nope, not again. And I just think of John, the strong man that he was like a reed that would not bend in the wind. He was courageous. He was the one making the way for the king to come. And so here we have John that's so strong. He baptizes Jesus. He tells Jesus, "I'm not even worthy to carry your sandals." But now John is having some doubts here. He's struggling because he finds himself in prison. What's this all about? I'm used to being out there preaching, doing all these things, and now John has this time just where he's struggling. A lot of time to think, and now he's silenced in prison. So he sends his servants out there, you know, go make sure Jesus, are you who you say you are? I sometimes think that we are in that same position, that we're really struggling, we're really just downcast, we're heavy laden, we're just overloaded with things, that we start to struggle a little bit, like, Jesus, are you here? Can you hear me? Can you see me? And so I love how Jesus answered John's servants here in verse 4 of 11. "And Jesus answered them, 'Go and tell John what you heard and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them.'" And so I love how Jesus' response is just remind them, reaffirm them. These are the things that are going on. These are the things that you know where to come. Jesus didn't get annoyed with John for having a hard time kind of questioning some things here. And I think that's how he responds to us, is he brings back those memories of what he's done in our lives. That's why we have our testimonies. That's why the testimonies are so powerful. And so to John, Jesus sent those back. Remind John. Just tell him of these things. And Jesus was John's cousin. So again, John knew all the knowledge. He knew what was going on. So during that time of struggle, that time of being in prison and in jail, that all these thoughts started to flood in. And I tell you what, that happens to me so often, that all of a sudden I'm so powerful, and then I become so weak. But then the Lord just cares for me. He loves me, and he reminds me of who he is, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's those gentle reminders that lift us back up. You know, I would be annoyed. Like, come on, what am I doing here? You see what I'm doing? But that's not Jesus' heart. He is so gentle to us. And so he sent the servants back to John. And then down in verse 11, of 11, he's telling everybody around him, well, there's no one greater than John the Baptist. Now, he didn't tell his servants to go tell John that, which I think is interesting. I think that's sometimes how we are. Sometimes we think that there's this distance between us and the Lord at times. But we don't know how he's looking at us or how he's feeling about us. You know, he's ready to tell us, good job, well done, my faithful servant. And it's just those times he gives us little glimpses sometimes. And that's what he did with John. He could have told his servants to go boost John's ego a little bit, tell him he's the greatest, you know, but he didn't. But he told everybody else around at that time. And I just think that was so neat. And now if we jump to chapter 20 of 11, Verse 20 of 11. So now we see John struggling, and now we see, okay, here's Jesus, and he's beginning to denounce the cities where he did most of his mighty works. So then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for the mighty works done you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it would be more bearable on that day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon, and for you, and you in Capernaum, you will be exalted to heaven. You will be brought down to Hades, for if the mighty works have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have been remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. So here Jesus is doing these wonderful works. He's doing these miracles. Capernaum, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Capernaum, this is where he had the paraplegic come in. This is where he called Peter, James, and John. And so in Capernaum, he did 5 out of his 10 miracles in Matthew 8 through 10. And so they rejected him. They said, we don't want that. And I think that's just amazing. And so this is the backdrop before we get to 11:28. This is what's going on here. These are some difficult times. You have John struggling. And he's in prison, by the way, because Herod put him there. Herod, I think it's Agrippa or Antipas. Anyway, he's the son of King Herod, who killed all the babies when they're trying to find King Jesus. And so Herod throws him in here because John courageously spoke out against this adulterous relationship. Herod decides he's going to take his brother Philip's wife, and John speaks out about that. And later on, we find out that John is then beheaded by the Herod. And so these are some really tough times. And then again, we see Jesus here. He's doing all these wonderful works. I mean, could you imagine? You're seeing Jesus heal the blind. You're seeing him heal the paraplegic and feeding the 5,000. And you're seeing these things, and yet you reject him. And so now we come to 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And I don't think there's one person in this room who has ever felt a heavy load or have become tired and weary of life. We constantly are just bombarded. And so this message today is for us that are running with the Lord, and for those of you that aren't, we all become heavy laden, and we can become very tired from the burdens that we carry. I love how Jesus says, come to me. It's so personal. Darren was just talking about this earlier this morning, that he's not saying, go to an institution, go to a certain denomination. He says, come to me. That's such a personal invitation. To me, one of the greatest invitations ever is to come to him, the King of the universe, the Lord of lords. And so I love how that is. It's so personal, so intimate. He wants that relationship with each one of us here. And this is in a present tense. He's saying, come now. Don't wait. Don't wait to get right. If you're not following the Lord, don't wait to get all pretty. He wants you right now. If you're struggling as a Christian, if you have all these financial problems, or you're having medical issues, come back. Come to him. Run after him. He wants you right now. And I just look at this as, all who labor are heavy laden. This isn't, we are way down. We are crawling for life here. You know, we are just barely holding on. I think without Christ, that's exactly where we always are. We are just barely hanging on. We are just one step away from destruction, no matter which way we go. And so I love how Jesus says, just come to me as you are. And all of you, each one of you, that come to me is the same as when he was in Capernaum, when he called Peter, John, and James. When they were fishing, he's come to me, drop everything, come right now. And I just reminded of this, Lord, just please help me to hear that calling. Help me not to ignore it in my times of struggle, even in my times of doing good, just to run to him, to drop everything. And I think it's amazing. And then with that labor and heavy laden, I like how John borrowed this from John Corson. And he said that, if you are of average weight and height, here's what you'll go through in an average 24-hour period. Your heart will beat 103,069 times. Your blood will travel 168 million miles as your heart pumps approximately 4 ounces per beat. You will breathe 23,040 times, inhaling 438 cubic feet of air, Your stomach will take in 3.5 pounds of food and 2.9 quarts of liquid. You will lose 7/8 of a pound of waste. And if you are a man, you will speak 4,800 words. And if you are a woman, you will speak close to 7,000 words. And now I know why Amy's so tired, I finally understand. Okay, she's worn out here. You will move 700, that's my, Amy's my wife, by the way. You will move 750 muscles and exercise 7 million brain cells. That's on an average day. Now, I don't meet too many people that have an average day. You know, there are so many things that come in one day that just weigh you down. So this is just like, this is resting, and most of us don't know how to rest. We are just completely weighed down by so many things. And here the Lord's telling us to come to Him, us that are not the fast runners here. We're being weighed down, we're crawling, we're hanging on for dear life, and He wants us to come to Him. Sometimes I think of my kids. We have 4 of them. And there's days where they're just, they're all ganging up on Amy and myself. Sometimes just if I'm home with them and Amy's gone, it's just them against me. And they're whining, they're crying, oh, I want this, no, I want that. And I think of, I just go away, I can't deal with it. And but Jesus is so opposite of how we think. He wants us to come to Him in that order of just we're down and out, we're kind of whining, we kind of just don't get what's going on. And I think that's so awesome. That's who we serve. He could have said anything. He could have said, how about you do this, do that, and then come to me, because I'm king, cleaned up. How can you come to my court looking so dirty and rotten and stinky? He could have said so many different things, but He just wants you to come to Him as you are. Powerful invitation right there. So powerful. And so then with that heavy laden, that is a heavy load. In the Greek, that word is loaded down. Now that guy is one bump away from losing it all. It's just the way it is. It's not even what that bike's made to do. And I think of us sometimes, especially those that aren't following the Lord, that's what our life looks like. We have a bunch of bricks just sitting on a little bicycle. You barely can see in front of you. You don't know if there's a hill coming up. You don't know if there's a bump. And it just all falls apart. And I look at sin, with that bike, you probably had to start there with the first brick and start building up, And with sin, it's exactly what happens. You can't escape it. You sin, you feel guilty, and then you try to cover that sin with another sin. And there's a lot of us here that have that testimony of absolute sin just smothered us, made our life so dark. We barely could breathe the guilt and the shame. And it was neat. Last Sunday, I had the privilege of doing Sunday school with the kids, which is just awesome. You see these children, they're just so in love with the Lord. They're so smart. The things they say, you stand back, wow, that came out of them. That's amazing. And so what we did was this object lesson. And I was really struggling again what to do. And I just thought of this great object lesson. We had this big mason jar. And what we did was we poured water in it, and then we poured oil in that. And so that mason jar was of the world. And then that oil and that water was in the mason jar. So it was the illustration of, we're in the world, but don't be of the world. And so then we went a little further with it. We decided, okay, now we see that separation. Then we had some food dye. And so we did some droplets of food dye into that mason jar. And it was neat. What that did is that food dye went right through the oil. And you see it just drop into that water. And I just think of what a great separation of when we give our life to the Lord. When we give Him our heavy load. When we give Him just all of our toil and our tears. That that sin just stays away from us. It separates us from the darkness of the world. And so the kids got really creative at this point. They were like, well, what happens if we keep putting more drops in? Because they just did a little bit, and the water got a little cloudy, and then they just kept adding more drops, until each food coloring that they had was completely empty. Yeah. And it was so dark, it was nasty, and their faces were like, wow, that's sin. We can't even see through it, but the oil, you can still see through the other side, and it's this clean-looking thing. And so so we were just amazed. Even I was amazed. I'm like, I know how it works. I know that oil and water don't mix, but I'm like, wow, this is such a great illustration, Lord. And so we were like, well, what can we do now with it? So we got a ruler, and we stirred it all up. And when we stirred it up real fast, it all mixed together, you know. And so as Christians, sometimes we find ourselves entangled in sin once again. And that sin kind of touches us. But the neat thing is we let that sit, and all of a sudden it starts separating again. And so that oil became clean once again. And I think of with the Lord, is that we just keep running to Him. You know, you get weighed down, run to Him. Get back up again. You know, you get knocked down several times, keep getting up. And He will cleanse you and keep cleansing you. And that's the power of repentance. And so for the non-Christian, you know, there is a freedom in Christ that you can only experience by giving your life to Him. All that shame and all that guilt. Not to throw my wife under the bus, but I remember when she came to the Lord, we had met each other 3 times before, and she was just running from the Lord full speed. Her life was she was so depressed. Her countenance just not happy. And you can tell whatever was trying to be happy was as phony as anything. And I'm like, Lord, I feel bad for this girl, you know. And then the third time she came to visit, I knew her sister down here. The third time Amy came to visit, she had completely given her life to the Lord and just an absolutely changed person. She had experienced so much guilt and shame for some of the things that she did in life, as do we all. You know, there's things I look back, I'm just so shameful if that was me. But the neat thing is how the Lord can make us a new creation. He takes that all the way. And so if any of you are here that are just feel guilty, shameful, or just stuck in the mud, you're spinning your wheels, just run to the Lord. He will cleanse you. You will feel at home. It's just an amazing thing that happens. Don't be like the people in Capernaum and in Bethsaida that you see this wonderful work. You hear the testimony today and just reject Him and don't repent, because He wants you. He loves you. He wants that personal relationship with you. You know, many have been burned by the church and by religiousness. And this is what this verse applies to, too. You have these Pharisees. They're just trying to put this heavy load of law on the people around there. And so if you've been burned by a church or anything like that, don't blame Jesus. He wants that relationship with you. Doesn't mean stop going to church or don't do any of that. Don't let that affect your relationship with Him. And so with that heavy burden and heavy laden, we'll give one more. So it's just, I think illustrations are so good sometimes, because that's how it is. I remember my life before the Lord. My mom was wild. She is a wild mother. We were left many nights home alone. I'd take care of my sister while she was out doing whatever she was doing. And then there was a lot of abusive relationships as well that I had to experience. So I was hurt. I was completely broken. Didn't trust anybody in life, especially men. No way. You know, I'm not going to trust you. And so I went to go visit my biological dad in Wyoming one summer. And came back, and my mom was saved. She was a completely different person. We get home, she's dancing all around the house. Let's anoint every room with oil and saying all. And I'm like, this is not my mom. Like, what happened? But I know the Lord used her too for me, because I was so hurt that there was nothing I was going to believe that was going to take care of the hurt. And I was just I was one scared kid that acted tough, you know, that I didn't need anybody. And I remember seeing my mom, and I remember giving my life to the Lord that same year, and the weight just being lifted off of me. And that's what the Lord does. That's that rest in this next verse. He says, let's see where you are, and I have so many scribbles. All right. Okay, yep, still in 28. So come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I remember that rest that came into my life when all those hurts, all those fears, and all the shame of things that I had done just were gone, removed. And, you know, riding a bicycle at this point, with that being off, I mean, you can actually use the bicycle what it's for, is point A to point B. It's no way to use for that. Our bodies are not, we're not supposed to sin. That's the enemy, you know, and sin is a terrible master to be under. You are a slave to death. That's where sin goes. And so anyway, this illustration, that Lord, Jesus can lift that right off of you when you come to Him. And again, this appeals to those that aren't following the Lord, and to those that are.
Even in the ministry, you know, sometimes I pray for Darren because he just is, how do you have the energy to keep going and run a family, run a church, and then have individuals call you? And you see some people just get so burned out in the ministry too, that even that can become such a heavy laden. And so when you constantly run to the Lord, He lifts that burden off of you. I was just thinking too with that sin. If someone can go to Psalm 38:4 and read it with great passion. We know where the microphone is as well.
Over here.
Wants to read. Anybody want to read? Raise your hand, and the lovely so-so will bring that mic right to you. Wanted to read it with passion.
For my iniquities,
Psalm 38:4. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart.
Yeah, and that, there you go, that's sin. I like that. Iniquity is over my head. Again, with this guy, he's just a bump away of hurting himself severely. And, you know, that's sinful. It creeps up. It starts somewhere, and it just continues and continues and continues. Because that's how the enemy is. He wants your life. He is not satisfied until that sin creeps in, and he has all of you. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his operation. And so as we continue on here... Oh. Is that handsome guy? So, come to me, all who are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, this is after a great Christmas dinner, and I have cookies on me. Anyway, I have entered a great rest there. There is a rest so much deeper than that. You know, you can, there's what we call the Sabbath rest, and that's just resting from the physical. But the rest that the Lord can give you, rest for your soul. That can be every day. That could be no matter what you're going through. Like my close friend, my brother Ryan, that's the rest that he found to enter in. And that's the rest. Honestly, folks, I still struggle with entering this rest. There's times where I nail it, and there's more times where I don't. And that's my prayer, is that I can just come to him and give him my heavy load, my burdens, my labor, and enter that rest. Because really, that's where the Lord can really speak to you. That's where you can really grow. That there's a storm going around you. We just read the backdrop of this verse, of what's happened with John, how Jesus has been rejected, and how can this be? And yet he's still inviting us. I still can't get over that. He still wants us. And but that rest is so awesome that we can enter. So there we go. Thank you, Josh, for the picture. All right. So take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Now that yoke, each one of us is under some form of yoke. In Romans 6:17, we have another reader. Romans 6:17. All right, Joe.
read it all the way. How about this? We'll give you 17 through 18.
But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness.
I think here we go. You know, so we're talking about getting out of the slavery of sin, but yet now we're Jesus saying, take my yoke. Well, now I have to be under something else. And that sin, again, is just death. That's what it equals. You're going to die under that. Now with the Lord's yoke, which is also used to become my disciple, but yoke with me. I think that slaves of righteousness. And what does that mean, slaves of righteousness? Now, one misperception or conception is that when you come to the Lord, there's all these do's and don'ts, all these just things that the enemy lies to you about. But slaves to righteousness. And one thing that means is that you look at a court, and you're standing, you know, and they have this list of all the things that you've done. You are as guilty as anything. But what Jesus is coming is he's taken that list. He said, I did it. Those are my sins, and he died for those. And so now you're standing. Now you're a slave to righteousness, a slave to freedom. You are not guilty anymore. Now, to be a slave to that is awesome. You're not carrying that weight of sin anymore. It's gone. And so that's what we're called to do now, is be slaves to righteousness. Now, that's also an active thing. We have to be on guard, because that doesn't give us a license now to sin, now that that sin's been removed from us. But I think it's so neat that Jesus' yoke is so easy. And we'll get to that verse here soon. So take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, if we dive into that learn, you know, there's academics out there that know the Bible inside and out. Now, that's not the learning that's referred to here. It's just to know some scripture, know the history of the Bible. That learning is being yoked with Jesus. He's saying, yoke with me. Be with me. And I think it's so neat with that yoke. I got this from John Corson as well, was that, you know, Jesus was a carpenter. His dad was a carpenter. And they're pretty sure that he was more of a finished carpenter, did furniture and built the yokes. And with a yoke, it is made to fit perfectly for the animal that's going to be using that yoke. And so it's easy. It's well fitted. I think of that personal relationship. Of course it is, because the Lord says, come to me. He knows you personally. And so that yoke that he's given you, he's made just for you. We each one of us have a job here, a mission here on earth to do. And so when we're yoked with him, it's going to be easy. That load, that burden is going to be light. And I just think,
May I say something?
Maybe if it's good.
Well, I was just going to say, maybe, now I'm sure everyone does know, but just in case, maybe for the younger kids and stuff, could you explain what a yoke is?
Oh, I don't need to explain.
Oh, you do have a picture, okay.
Not that one. Yoke. The yoke's
on you.
That's a good yoke. So this is what a yoke looks like. And so the oxen or whatever beast of burden that would be used, their head would go through there. So you're yoked with somebody. And so Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. So we're yoked with him. Again, with going back to the animals that were used, there's always a lead animal in that yoke system. And so what Jesus is saying is just, and that lead animal would do most of the work. He would carry the load. And so Jesus is saying, be yoked with me. He's not saying, just go be yoked with somebody, you know, that spiritual, be yoked with me. Again, that personal relationship. And so, and then we're yoked with him, because now we're with him. We have that relationship with him. He says, learn from me. And that learning is from experience. Here again, he's telling John the Baptist, remember what's going on here. What have you heard? This is what's going on. Again, when we're yoked with Jesus, we can see what he's doing. We can see how he's moving. The more we learn, but the more we read his word, and ask him to show us and reveal the mysteries to us, the more we learn of him, and the more we can follow that lead, follow his lead. I just think of myself in a yoke. Now, a bad yoke does is it ruins
your neck, it causes sores. You can't even complete the job for that day. And so oftentimes when I kind of feel like I'm getting a little sore here, I'm really running out of energy, I realize that I'm yoking myself to something besides Jesus. And I have to get back to that spot where I'm yoked with Him. Because that burden is light. We've gone through great struggles and trials in life, and there's been times where I've looked at those trials and just been overcome by them, and woe is me, and I find myself not yoked with the Lord, and it is a painful process to go through that. On the other hand, when you go through trials and you're yoked with Him, it's a learning experience. You learn so much from those trials. You become more mature in Christ. And I encourage each one of you, if you're feeling some pain, if you got some sores around your neck, just examine, what are you yoked to right now? What's going on that's causing that? When you're yoked with Christ, it's easier. That load becomes easier because you can trust in Him. You can give Him the load, and He will carry it. And then I like this as well. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. Now, again, here we have Jesus that can describe Himself as anything, dread Lord of the universe, a King of kings, Lord of lords, I can do anything. And this is, I think, one of the only autobiographies in the Bible where Jesus describes who He is. And He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. And that lowly in heart means meekness. I remember Darren giving a sermon on that too, with the word meek in the Greek is strength under control. It's when a wild horse would be broken. That horse was strong, but it's just bucking all over the place. It's wanting to break through the gates. And until you break it, you have that strength isn't harnessed. And with the Lord, He is so gentle. He is lowly in heart. That's who we serve. He wants us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to heal each one of our wounds that we have in life. And I think that's so amazing that, you know, we, for those, again, that aren't following the Lord, this is who He is. He is so gentle. Again, how He answers John is the most gentle way. Just, this is who I am. You know, we look at Lord, maybe, man, He's going to hate me for what I've done. He's not going to accept me into His kingdom. Who am I? And even us Christians at times can buy that lie that the enemy is whispering in our ears. But the Lord is gentle. He is lowly in heart. He came down here to die for us and for our sins. And that's who we get to serve. That's who's calling us into His kingdom. And again, I just think it's such a neat verse. And then again, He mentions, and you will find rest for your souls. Not in the physical. Now, there's going to be some hard times in the physical realm. We're going to look at some great mountains that we're going to have to climb. Some steep valleys we're going to have to go down into. But we can all do it with rest in Him. With that complete trust. When we're yoked with Him. When we answer that call that He's calling us to be yoke with me, my sons and my daughters, yoke with me, that you will find rest for your souls. For me, I'd much rather have rest for my soul than any time in the physical, because with that, you can just lay everything down and trust in Him. All right, we'll continue on here. And so my yoke is easy and light. Again, and that yoke is made perfectly for us. My previous job, we had to really study personalities. It's amazing how the Lord has created us so differently, how each one of us responds so differently to something. But it's also neat that we're not robots, that we're not all the same. Especially when you mix us all into the kingdom of God. We're from all walks of life. We have all different giftings. And so when we're yoked with the Lord, He can magnify those giftings for His kingdom to use us to do the job. And that job is easy and light. It's not burdensome when we're doing what we're supposed to do. Again, sometimes I feel myself yoked, weighed down to something besides Christ. And I realize this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. This is not what I'm made for. You know, even the job, my job that provides for my family, but that's not my calling in life in the kingdom. You know, so oftentimes it takes up so much of what I do that it pushes the kingdom stuff so far out of the way. And it's like, Lord, please, just help me to get back and yoke with You again so I can go on and do what You want me to do, how You gifted me. And so each one of our personalities, in the Bible says that we're all made of different members, but we all need each other to function. It's so important. So when one of us gets pulled away, three of us get pulled away, we're not functioning right. And so, again, if we're yoked with him, our giftings and our personality that he's created us to be really get to shine, and we really get to work. And with that yoke, you don't get tired in that day's worth of work. You keep going and moving on. Get out of Romans here. If anybody has anything too, you can speak up. That's be fine. All right.
Back here. I don't need a mic. I got a big mouth. So we talk about like letting the Lord give us rest, but how do we do that practically? Okay, so I got three little kids, right? So my husband's sick. So when we're like freaking out and the kids are, you know, about ready to break the screen and the baby's just had a blowout, how do we find rest? And I want to ask us, because I find that that's where we can really start to just start cursing. Like, I'm not a cursing woman, but I've been wanting to curse lately a lot. I've been so exhausted. And the Lord has rest for us, I think, even in those times. But the question is, like, how do we, and this is not just a question for you, Josh, but, like, for all of us, how do we find rest practically when we want to punch our hand through the wall, you know? How do we just stop and let the Lord give us rest in those situations?
Yeah, for, and anybody else can answer too. And for me, it's one of those questions I've asked often, and this could be the wrong answer, I don't know, but for me, you know, it's when I can, when I feel like I am yoked with Christ. And so even during the toughest of storms, I can say, you know, especially with parenting, we've been in the same boat. Also, the car breaks down, we have a air conditioning stopped working, we have tons of babies running around, and you just can't do it. But when you realize that these are the desires the Lord's given me, this is my job, is to parent, to do these things. These are kingdom things, witnessing to my kids. These are kingdom things, being a husband to my wife. And so when you can look past the circumstances, I think about these cities that Jesus denounced. Darren's been over in Israel. I don't know, have you ever been to those cities? They're pretty thriving now, right? They're just going. No, they're gone. They don't even. They're just ruins. But yet his word, these things still touch us now. And so Jesus could have looked at those circumstances. John could have looked at those circumstances and said, "Oh my goodness, I'm done. I can't. What am I doing here? I'm doing miracles. They're rejecting me." So when those circumstances come in and you focus in on those, I think that's where it takes you out of that rest. Now, I think the rest isn't something where you just get to lay down and nothing is going on. Like with Ryan, when he was sick, the pain was still there, the worries were still there, but his trust was so much stronger than those circumstances in the Lord. And I think when you can trust and lay those things down, that's the rest. That, Lord, this is, you're in control here. I'm good with you, Lord. I'm going to follow your lead in this circumstance. And I think that's what the rest is. It's not the slumber of everything is great and this is...
Yeah. I mean, like, practically, like, well, as a mom, what do you do? Because you want to just start going nuts, like.
Yeah.
So what? How do you?
Well, I was just gonna say, like, even early on in my and Josh's marriage, we were surrounded by numerous trials, and I'm sure with every pregnancy there was some kind of trial going on, you know, because I had the four little ones. But this is what the Lord spoke to me, because I would have a lot of hard times too, you know. I'm, you know, whatever. Once again, once I came to the Lord, you know, he cleaned up my attitude and my language and whatever, so, but, you know, your mind still goes there. But this is what he put on my heart. You know, these trials, there's always going to be trials. But then sometimes he does give us those rests, too. And since you're a woman and you've had your third baby, this is how I think of it, and this is what the Lord spoke to me in ways. Like, listen, labor doesn't last forever. It's painful, you know. It's not great. But you know there's going to be an end. So when we would go through things, whether it's other family members or like what happened with my mom, and I still have to homeschool my kids, I got to fly up and I got to go see her while she has cancer, like I have all this stuff going on, I told myself, and I would get wrapped up in my family going crazy, but I'm like, you know what? Just like with labor, this isn't going to last forever. So Lord, right now, I'm just going to cry to you, like literally physically cry, and I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to ignore the house. And I know that sounds like, but we have to keep the house clean. That's our job, right? No, you ignore the house, you let it get nasty, you focus on your kids, you focus on your husband and say, Lord, I just give up because I can't do it. I can't do it all. the house is always going to be messy for the next 20 years, you know? So it's keeping up on that stuff, it doesn't matter. If you just focus on your kids and the Lord and you just sit, that's what I think of rest, is I'm trusting in Him and I know it's going to be okay. So that's how I think of it. Anytime I'm going through anything, I'm like, this is going to end. Lord, let me just deal with it until it ends. But I don't know if that's helpful or not. But
yeah. As a mom, before we go. All right. I should actually, Lisa, you want this mic after me? Probably do. Yeah, well, you know what? This is gonna sound so like, I'm almost, I don't know. It's the truth, but it sounds so like dumb and basic that like it just, but it's just true. Like, okay, this is, I'm a lot of times I'm in the Word, but studying for this and that, but you know, so here I'm on vacation, so like I'm totally taking a break, right? So, I'll be honest with you, I haven't really been in the Word for myself.
Exactly.
And so I'm getting, you know, especially the first few days of the vacation, wasn't any rest. We're just like, and we were getting little fights, and I'm thinking, and you know, my wife's like being really super patient, and here's what she's doing. She's getting up earlier than that, and I'm thinking, I'm getting more rest now. I need rest. So I get 3 hours of sleep here, and she's going out, and she's taking time to breathe. You know, that woman's Bible study, you know, that they're doing. And she's spending time with the Lord. And she has such a good attitude. And she's got such a... And we're going to the same... And I'm like, where do you think you're getting off and have this great attitude, dude? And I'm thinking, oh, you know what? And the Lord's reminding me, I know this is basic. When was the last time you just come out? Go out in the little night. Force yourself. Do it. Just spend time with me. It sounds so dumb. Not just come out, I need more Bible knowledge, read one more chapter. Spend time with me. Lord, will you lead me? What do you want me to read? Psalm? What psalm? You know, what do you want me to read today? What do you just give me a chapter? Mm-hmm. And not every time, but many times, that infuses strength in me and patience and encouragement. And the Lord will speak things. And I don't even know exactly how it happens, to be honest with you. But then after I do that, 9 out of 10 times, I can tell you, I'm better for the day. I don't know why, you know, I have to be reminded of this, but I do, and it works. And watching, you know, example of my wife, just like, I know this, but I'm having to be brought back to like, okay, Darren, you're dumb, step in. But it really does work. And also the body, you know, when I was over at the house and we were talking, you know, you were sharing how so many people were coming over here and blessing and encouraging the family. And, you know, helping with food and helping with house cleaning. That's the body. That's the Lord saying, I'm still with you, honey. I'm still providing for you, even in the midst of it. Now, I know it still might not, you know, that's not enough. But He is still there with you in the midst. And He loves you. And we love you. So I don't know if that helps at all, but sometimes going back to the basics.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, go ahead, Josh.
I realize we're getting late here. We'll close it out. Anybody else have anything to say, too? I like what Charles Spurgeon said here. Nothing teaches us so much the preciousness of the Creator as when we learn the emptiness of all besides. Everything else is absolutely empty. There is no reward, no fulfillment in anything but Christ. That's for us that are running after Him, and those that are not, He will. Everything else is empty. And so I just pray today that we would just yoke with Him, that we'd follow Him. And I'll just close this out in prayer here. Lord, we just come to you, Father, and I first just want to lift up anybody that doesn't know you, Lord, that hasn't given their life to you, Lord, that they would just answer the call to come to you right now, Lord, drop everything and run to you, and there is a guarantee that there will be everlasting life, Lord. There's a guarantee that the load of sin, the weight of sin, Lord, would be lifted off of them, Lord God, and so I just pray that we will just run to you, Lord. And just let them know that we here love each one of them, Lord God. And that if they need prayer, that they just come up here and find one of us. And we will just pray with them, Lord, that they would find that way to be yoked with you. Lord God, I pray for us that are in the kingdom, Lord, that are just weighed down, Lord. There are a lot of people suffering in our body right now, Lord, that are weighed down with so many different circumstances. Lord, I just do. I lift up the Stillman family, Lord. I lift up Rumsey to Lord God. Just please give them the perseverance, the energy, Lord, but most importantly, the rest in you, Lord God, because this just the circumstance that I can't imagine, Lord God. And we pray for Natalie, Lord, who is the mom and the wife, Lord, that's just taking care of the kids, taking care of her husband, and just all the thoughts or any of those things that enter her mind, Lord. I just pray that she would just dig deeper into you, Lord God, that if we as a body would just be that encouraging strength for her, Lord God, that we would just be able to help this family out right now. And we lift up Billy too with his heart, Lord God. We just pray that you would just to have him keep growing deeper in you, Lord, in spite of the circumstances, Father God. We just are so thankful that you are gentle and lowly of heart, Lord. We get to come to you. You died for each one of us here, Lord God. You took our nastiness, our filth to the cross, Lord God, that we get to be slaves of righteousness now, Lord God. I'm just so thankful, Lord. Just even hearing that sometimes is so real to me that me, I'm considered worthy, Lord God, worthy of your love, Lord God, worthy of your sacrifice. And I just thank you so much for dying for me, Lord God. I pray that as we leave, Lord, as the circumstances flood into our lives this week, Lord God, that we would not be yoked to anything else but you, Lord God. So we give you this morning. Give you our week, Lord. We give you all the troubles and the trials that are going to follow, Lord. They come. Like Amy said, they're always there, Lord, but there is an end to each one of them, Lord God. And I just thank you for people that have gone before us, Lord, the strength that they've had in you, that they've been good examples of how to survive the greatest trials of life, Lord God. We lift up the Crowleys to you, Lord God. Paul and Marsh, we just thank you for the work they've done, Lord. It's always just I'm always inspired when they come. Reach, Lord. We just pray for protection and just for your word to be spread over there in Africa. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.